Okay, welcome to the Monday night Q&A calls for our Inner Circle students. I hope everybody's having a great holiday weekend. So I won't keep you very long, but let's just jump right in. Who has a question you'd like for me to answer?
Oh, Larry, this is Carl down in Florida.
Carl, what's up?
Question I have for you tonight is, I have a buyer, potential buyer, but they're only going to qualify for FHA.
This is Mike.
An FHA mortgage.
They
right?
are
so
or are
a,
not?
They are. So I know there's a seasoning requirement of at least 90 days on that. How would you handle that?
Okay, tell me that again. They're going to qualify for FHA.
They're already pre-qualified. They're going to get an FHA loan. It's a mobile. Right now, that's the only way they can buy a mobile with a mortgage right now is with the FHA financing. So how would you handle that since there's a 90-day seasoning requirement there?
Who has a 90-day seasoning?
FHA.
So what you're saying is FHA will not give them a loan on a house that has not been owned for at least 90 days. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Are you sure it's about it's on the financing and not from the seller of the property?
Yeah, it's on the financing. It's on the buyer side.
Okay, okay. Well, you could do one of a couple things, okay? You could create a 90-day contract and then have them close. How long have you owned it?
I only have it under contract right now. I'm just trying to wholesale it out.
Oh, well, I guess I'm a little confused. You don't wholesale a house. What you're talking about doing is retailing it.
Yes, basically.
Yeah. So in wholesaling, you would wholesale it to somebody that's a cash buyer or has hard money or private money or something like that. But does a house need work?
No.
It needs no work?
Needs no work.
Okay. So what you're saying is you have it under contract and you have found a buyer that will qualify for FHA.
Correct.
Okay. Then what you're going to have to do is find somebody to loan you some money for 90 days so you can get the property through the seasoning time frame and then sell it to your buyer. So you're going to need some short-term money in doing that, like a 90-day loan from a private money lender or a hard money lender.
Okay.
Are you making enough on the deal where it would qualify hard money in the sense of the how much you're paying for it versus what it's worth?
Right now, I've got a $10,000 margin in there.
Okay.
I'd have to have a bigger margin than that to handle the financing.
You would say that again? You would have to have a bigger margin?
Yeah, I would want a bigger margin in there to handle the financing charges.
Okay. Yeah, in dealing with somebody that's getting their own financing, like a retail buyer like that, are you selling the property at retail, or are you actually selling it to them at a wholesale price?
At a retail price.
Okay. So you only have a $10,000 spread between retail and what you're paying for it?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's a tight deal anyway. That's very tight. It's tough to make those numbers work, especially if you end up having to pay closing costs or have to buy down the buyer's rate or – you know, do anything to help them, you know, with their financing. What's the property? What are you selling it for?
86.
86. So you paid 76 for it.
Right.
Okay. Did you have your buyer lined up before you ever bought it?
No.
Okay. Okay. So you got it under contract at 76, and then you went out looking for a buyer.
Correct.
Okay. Well, in the future, let's just run this right quick. Okay, 76 divided by, you said you have it under contract for 86?
I have it under contract for 76.
Right, but you have it under contract to sell for 86.
Right. I've talked to the buyer.
Divided by 86 is 88.3. So you are buying it wholesale at 88.3. I personally would never do that. You want to be able to be in it. Well, actually, you want to be able to sell it as a wholesale buyer at at 70%. But you're already in this thing at almost 90% of value. Let me ask you this question to see if there's a couple other ways around this. Are you buying it from a realtor or through a realtor, or is it individual?
It's an individual.
Oh, okay, okay. Wow, that might help out a little bit.
Yeah, my other option is to go back to the seller and negotiate a lower price with him.
Well, what I'm thinking is, now how long has the seller owned it?
I don't know how long the seller's owned it. I know he has not been in the house for 2 years.
But they have owned it more than 90 days.
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, let's see.
You
have a contract to buy this property. Okay. Is your contract assignable?
It could be assignable. That was my plan, was to originally assign it, but I understand the FHA won't allow an assignable contract either, or they won't allow an assignment fee to show up on the HUD-1.
Okay.
That's what I've been told.
Well, you don't know unless you try it. You know what I'm saying? So there's a couple different things here. You might be able to assign the contract directly to your buyer and just get paid on the closing statement. You might also go back to your seller and get an option on the property for 76, an option on the property, and then have a, you know, like a flex option, and have a $10,000 option buyout on it, so that way you get paid as an option buyout agreement on the HUD, which is very similar to an assignment, but it works the same way. That way it's not going to be an assignment on the HUD.
Larry, can you explain that flex option? I have not heard that.
Yeah, all a flex option is you get the house under contract, under option to buy it for 76. But the option agreement has a buyout agreement that says that your seller has the right to buy out the option or buy it back and get you out of the deal for $10,000. So then what you do is you put your seller and your buyer together, and then on the HUD closing statement, your seller pays you the $10,000 option release, and they sell it directly to the buyer. It's called a flex option.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, and you might be able to utilize that. Another thing you could possibly do, let me think about this. Okay, another thing you could possibly do. How much does your seller owe on the property?
He owns it free and clear.
Free and clear. Okay. Maybe what you could do is go to your seller. Now, check with your attorney about all this stuff first, okay?
All right.
But maybe what you could do is go to your seller and say, look, I've got a. Your seller pretty much knows what you're doing, right?
No, he really doesn't know what I'm doing.
Oh, okay. You think would you be able to tell your seller what you're doing?
I think so. I mean, he's. I know what his situation is.
Well, what you could possibly do. Let's see. Okay, here's another idea. Tell your seller to finance it for you for 90 days. Finance it for you for 90 days and say, look, I'll give you, you know, whatever you would normally pay like for financing or whatever. You know, I give you $1,000 interest for 90 days or $500 a month or something like that, interest or a payment or whatever. So, yeah, now you only make $8,500, but you still make $8,500.
Right.
So that way you can still transfer a title and own the property for 90 days.
Right.
Okay, here's another thing that you could do. You could talk to your seller and tell your seller exactly what's going on And what you could do is you could put a mortgage on the property for $10,000 and just be a payoff on the HUD. Did you catch that?
Yes, I did.
Now, you got to be real careful with some of this stuff. You just, I mean, just be careful with it, but, you know, ask your attorney first. And maybe they even come up with some other ways. But these are all different creative strategies that's possible to use.
Okay. Yeah, I like them.
Good. That's exactly why you're on the call.
That's right.
That's good. Cool. So does that help?
Yes, it did.
Great. Great. Let me know how it goes, and let me know if you need any more help with it, okay?
All right.
Excellent. Cool. Who else has a question you want to throw out? Anybody? Jump on in. What? Nobody has a question. Everybody ready to go back and watch The Bachelorette?
Hey, Larry.
Yeah.
Well, this is Mike Burrows. How you doing?
What's up?
Oh, this is just an experiment. I'm usually in bed by this time. I just wanted to see if this call was really going to happen tonight. That wasn't a question, but anyway.
Yeah, well, remember, you ain't got much time left.
Oh, you are bad.
That's why I need my sleep.
I hear you. Hey, I'm usually in bed, too, by this time, but I just literally walked in the door from the mountains.
Well, good. I hope you had a good weekend. But I guess I could come up with a question. I've only got one little deal I'm working on. I'm having a real hard time finding any deals, but I really haven't been working at it that long.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, it just seems harder than it used to be to find a deal, but I'll find one. The only thing I'm working on right now is a real strange situation. I'll try to give it to you as quick as I can and see what you think. I'm working with a gentleman by the name of Lloyd, who actually is the this is complicated. Lloyd was married to a woman who died. The woman had three sons. So I guess Lloyd is not their biological father, but
right.
So this house that Lloyd lived with this woman who died in here in Raleigh, died about 5 years ago, and the house and Lloyd found another woman to live with, and he hasn't lived in the house for 5 years. He's been paying a mortgage about $95,000 to pay off.
Right.
His wife, the biological mother of the three boys, gave him in her will, gave him a third ownership, of the property, willed him a third.
Right.
And willed the boys each a third of the remaining two-thirds.
Uh-huh.
So one of the boys is in that time frame is in bankruptcy. One of them signed his interest over to Lloyd because Lloyd's been making all the payments and he did the right thing. The other boy wants to get his share, although he's not put anything into it. So my plan was basically the house probably has an ARV of like 175, give or take. I was originally going to offer him 125 because I thought I could put maybe 20 into it and make a quick 30. And then it died for about a year, and then he finally came back to me because I just dropped it, and he finally came back to me the past couple weeks. So I was trying to figure out a way. I told him my original offer was off the table, that I was basically going to offer him like $100,000, which would just basically pay off his mortgage. I hope pay off his mortgage and the closing costs, and cut the bankruptcy out of the guy out of it and cut his other son out of it and he's trying to do him wrong anyway. And that I'd kind of give him kind of under the table. And that's where it gets a little questionable legally. That I would pay him the same amount of money that he would have gotten had I made him the full offer of 125. Did you follow that at all?
Right. Well, first of all,
anyway, you know, one third or the two thirds of the son, that the sons would have getting. What I'm trying to do is any percentage of 0-0. So I'm trying to cut them out and give Lloyd some money on the side, but I don't know how to do that.
All right, I'm going to tell you how to do it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you got to have two separate transactions, okay? One of them you're involved in and one of them you're not, because you don't want to be involved in something where this one of the two kids, which, by the way, one has already signed over his interest. So he's
one of the three has, yeah.
He's out of it anyway.
Right.
He has nothing to do with it, so forget him. The
right.
other one who's in bankruptcy, what Lloyd needs to do is he needs to go and talk to him and say, look, if you don't start paying this, I'm just going to let it go back and we're going to lose everything because I'm tired of making the payments. And say, look, I'll give you $1,000 to sign it over and be done. And, of course, now he may have to get bankruptcy court approval. I do not know whether that's true or not, but he may have to get court approval from the bankruptcy judge. But
he lives in South Carolina.
All that worked out before he sells it to you. Because if you go in there and, you know, and he's trying to, you know, this son is trying to deed his third to you, and then Lloyd's deeding his two-thirds to you, and then you're doing a little deal on the side. If anything about that ever came out, everybody's going to get sued. But if Lloyd can get clear title to the property, then he can do whatever he wants to with it, and the kids are out of it.
Yeah, I think the bankruptcy probably problem, but the son that lives in Maryland is could be a problem.
And that's the bankruptcy one.
The bankruptcy guy probably wouldn't be a problem, but
wouldn't be a problem. Well,
I don't think so because he's not
the
kids anyway. The one in Maryland is the one that I think is wanting to be greedy about it.
Well, wait a minute. I thought is he the one that already deeded it over?
No. There's one that lives in Raleigh. He deeded it over.
Oh,
and
there's
one in Maryland. The one in Maryland is the one wants a piece of the action, although he's never put a dime into it.
Okay. So there's three of them all together.
Yeah. One of them one in Raleigh signed it over already, which was the right thing to do. Excuse me. The bankruptcy guy is not going to get anything anyway, so he'd probably cooperate. The one in Maryland, I think, is going to cause stink. He's probably going to say no. You know, house is worth more than $100,000, which I'm willing to offer. It's a nice house, a great house.
Yeah.
Great
location.
What are you going to do with it? Say again.
What are you going to do with it?
So I was going to update bathroom and a kitchen and rip out all the carpet and refinish the floors. The exterior is perfect.
Retail
it, right.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, you need to get the kids out of the way first, and you don't need to be involved in that. But you can talk to Lloyd and give him some pointers and ideas, but you need to be out of that transaction. So Lloyd can go there and say, look, I'm tired of making payments. You start making the payments, or I'm going to let it go back.
Well, I'm going to try to get a bunch of estimates. They're probably going to run maybe $60,000 or so to convince the other boys that, you know, by the time
there's
the improvements.
No
improvements in, yeah, I'm going to try to make it show them that that's all they're going to be able to get out of it anyway. So.
Yeah, but Lloyd don't need to be telling them he's got it sold.
Oh no, he didn't. No, he doesn't need to.
No, he don't need to be telling him he's got it sold. I mean, you can help him, you know, give him some ideas and pointers, but you know, they need to make sure everything's done straight up, done through an attorney, deeded over, notarized, all that correctly. Then once Lloyd has everything done and the kids are out of the way, then he can do whatever he wants to with it, which is sell it to you.
Yeah.
But you don't want to get involved in the middle of that. That's just going to, I mean, they're going to see dollar signs.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna do what I can here. I think I got a strategy here, and I've talked to Lloyd about it. I think he's in agreement with me. And
good.
And he needs to get out from under it because
for $125 or whatever.
Yeah, I mean I could still make it work at that price. I was just trying to figure out. I mean,
but even still, once Lloyd does get deed title to the property, then what you need to do is you need to buy it, subject to that $95,000 mortgage, so you
don't
come out of pocket with anything other than the equity you're giving him until you have it sold.
Exactly. Yeah, I've already wanted to do that subject to thing, and we've talked about that.
Good, good.
So my only other problem right now is marketing. What can you tell me? I mean, I'd like to get the phone to start ringing, and I haven't done enough studying. I haven't even gotten through the daggone book yet, man. And,
well, you remember when you were at the office last week, we talked a lot about direct mail and where to buy those lists and what criteria and all that.
Yeah, I might try some of that.
Yeah, you should try some direct mail. You got all those postcards on your flash drive to use.
Yep, I'm sitting here looking at it. So I hadn't run it yet, but I've been pretty busy since I got back. But
I hear you cleaning up the desk, right?
Yeah. Say again? I'm sitting here looking at it. Yeah, right here. Got my name on it. So my other question was basically this. I like the idea or the sound of reverse wholesaling. You got any quick, simple answers for me how to do this reverse wholesaling stuff?
All you're really talking about is having it sold before you go out and buy it.
Well, you know, I want to find buyers that tell me what properties they want, so I can go out and find the properties.
That's exactly right. Yeah. All you got.
But I've never done that before.
Showed you to build your buyers list and find out what they want. You know, because it's a lot easier to find a house for a buyer than a buyer for a house.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just trying to see if you have any what's really the best way to market to buyers.
You mean to find buyers?
To find buyers. In other words, I don't have a property, but in other words, when I say reverse wholesaling is to build
your buyers
marketing out there, saying that you know we've got houses for sale, although I don't, and get them to call me and say I want this kind of house, and then I go out and find a wholesale deal. It meets their criteria. I mean, I'd just like to have some buyers that tell me what kind of house they want, so then I can go out and find a house that I don't have yet.
Well, here's the thing. If you got the right buyers on your list, you're not going to have to be all that selective. All they want is something they can make some money on. They want either one of two things. They want a fix and flip house, or they want a rental house. So,
well, that's an investment buyer. I'm talking about real like retail buyers.
Oh, listen, you can't do that.
Can't do that?
Why are you wanting to do that anyway?
Well, I just I figured if I had some people that were chomping a bit to buy a house retail, that I'd try to find them one.
I understand that, but all I'm saying is what you got to do, that's very very difficult to do, Mike, because if you're finding a retail buyer, somebody's going to, number one, pay retail, and number two, that they're going to live in it, they're going to be a lot more particular. So what you're going to have to do, so let's say you were to do that. They say, yeah, I want at least a 2,500 square foot house, 4-bedroom, 3-bath. I want it in this school district. I want a 2-story. I want a corner lot. I want fenced-in backyard. I want this. I want that. You know, I want granite tops. I want an island in the kitchen. Man, you're going to beat yourself up just trying to go find them something, because the whole Internet is their playing ground to find something. and you're going to try to find them something that they want and will fall in love with and pay retail price for in advance, and you got to go get a good deal on it. Man, that's hard to do. That's very hard to do, especially when all they got to do is go to Zillow.com or Realtor.com and type in their search criteria, and up pops everything that they have an interest in.
Okay, well, you know, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you. I've just heard a lot over the past months. I mean, there's some real estate gurus, whatever you want to call it, out there that, you know, claim this works, and I don't know how it works. That was my question.
Telling you, man, I've been doing this for a long time, and you might be able to find a buyer, but trying to find everything you're talking about, a buyer that's going to live in it, so they're going to be much more selective. You know, it's got the bedrooms got to be the right size. It's got to be the right number of bedrooms. It's got to be the right school district, the right neighborhood, you know, all that stuff. And they got to be willing to pay retail. That's going to be tough,
yeah,
man.
What about wholesaling? What's the word?
Yeah, wholesaling. That's halfway
wholesaling
between retailing and wholesaling.
Yeah, so how's that work? I mean,
no,
that's
selling a house to somebody that's going to live in it at a discount. You know,
yeah,
not a whole lot of a discount, but some of a discount. That's like when we go out and put signs in the neighborhood for our wholesale houses that we have, and we bump the price up a little bit. Like if we bought it for $50 and we're going to wholesale it for $60, we might put a sign in the neighborhood that says $70 on it. You know, and that way we're catching people who are going to live there, but they know it's still a good deal, but it's not as good a deal as a wholesale deal, but it's also not retail either.
Well, I thought hoteling, you maybe cleaned up the yard a little bit, spent a little bit of money on it.
You can. It's entirely up to you. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But let me tell you something. If somebody's going to live in a house, the house has got to be in good shape for them to go get a mortgage.
Yeah.
It can't, you know, need paint and carpet and cabinets and all that stuff. It's got to be in good shape, or else, you know, somebody like Wells Fargo or Bank of America is not going to give a loan on it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just having a hell of a time. What little bit of looking I've done, I've had a rough time finding a deal around these parts.
You know, what you're going to have to do, Mike, is spread out right outside of Raleigh. Just go out to some of the suburbs and some of the other areas. And you're going to have to use some of those other techniques we talked about last week.
Okay.
You know, like direct mail and the FSBOs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of maybe thinking about maybe some probate and maybe some – how do you find abandoned homes? I've tried to
– The what homes?
Vacant homes, abandoned homes.
Abandoned?
Any particular way to – scientific way?
There's a couple ways. You can drive the streets and look for them. You can hire bird dogs off of Craigslist to do it. You can also just do direct mail to absentee owners, and a lot of those are vacant.
Okay. Any other simple, easy way to go to the city or something? Code enforcement, but...
Well, code enforcement. We've tried direct mail to code enforcement, but we don't get a very good response.
Yeah.
So that doesn't necessarily mean it's vacant, but... You know, to really, really tell if a house is vacant is just to ride down the street. So unless you got people out riding up and down the neighborhoods looking for vacant houses, writing down the addresses for you, you're going to have to do some direct mail or mail code enforcement or something like that.
Wouldn't the municipalities code enforcement people be able to give you a list of the properties that
you can
in violation?
Absolutely, you can. You can about any city. You know, you just go to the city or county website and look for code enforcement, and then call them up and ask them how they have their list of properties that are under code violation.
I know some of those people.
There's a lot of different things they have.
Yeah, I think I will just call some of those people too. So.
Yeah.
I know some of them.
That's the best way to do it, and build a rapport with them.
Yeah, okay.
Because what we used to tell them was, we used to say, look, you know, we help people that have houses that are under code violation, but they either don't have the money or don't want to fix it up, and we help them fix it up, or we can buy it from them and fix it up, so that way it gets it off your books too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because the code enforcement, they want them off the books too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I will do my best, of course,
awesome,
for me.
Man.
So
that's good. I hope that helped.
I'm going to bed. Thank you.
All right, I'll get in here and answer some more questions then. I appreciate you calling in.
Thanks a lot, Larry.
All right, thanks. Have a good night. All right, who else has a question? Anybody? Jump right in.
Well, Larry, if somebody else has a question, I want to ask another one.
Sure.
All right. I've been working on getting this blaster up and running. And just about got that done. I pulled a listing out of MLS of all the houses that, that met the criteria that we were going to go after,
Right.
Free twos, things like that.
Right.
And I pulled this, and it was in a four-count. This particular MLS operation covers four counties here in Florida. And when we got done pulling all the stuff out, I think there was something like 463 houses that we were going to send offers to.
Right.
All right. Now, I know down there in Fort Lauderdale, you were saying, you were making, 1,000 to 2,000 offers a week or something like that?
Right.
So, obviously, I'm going to have to expand beyond this particular MLS.
But now I want you to remember something. We're not making 1,000 to 2,000 offers a week with Bid Blaster. A lot of those are either web submissions like HUDHomestore.com or I believe it's HubZoo or HomePath. But when you're submitting offers through Bid Blaster, you want to be careful not submit more than one or two, maybe two or three at the most, to each listing agent per day. Otherwise, I mean, think about it. What if a listing agent has 32 listings and they get an offer from you on 32 houses at the same time? That doesn't look like it's real.
Yeah, but Bid Blaster was set up so you can control that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just want to make sure that you understand that. That's all.
Well, my concern, though, was, going outside of, this is the area, I've been developing and still developing. In fact, I'm doing direct mail now to two counties. For any person or entity that has purchased two or more homes so far in 2014.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, that's where I'll build up my buyers list from.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You might have to expand out into other areas. You might have to use different techniques too, like direct mail or some of the other techniques. But yeah, it's 400 is not a bad number.
Okay. Yeah, because when we still have a short sale working, and we did this back in February when we did it manually and sent out 166 offers, that one's still in the works. But,
Good.
But I was just trying to think, besides doing direct mail to the list like I just explained, what other kind of ways could you think of to build up a buyer's list very quickly in areas that I have not worked in before?
To build up a buyer's list, well, go to your local RIA group or to a RIA group that's where you're going to have properties. Put out signs in areas. Run ads, handyman specials, fixer-uppers, cheap cash. Get on my buyer's list. Do direct mail to all the property owners in areas that own more than one or two properties. And that's several things that come to mind, the direct mail and the, post properties. You can actually post properties on Craigslist and on Zillow that are handyman specials, investor specials, handyman fixer-uppers. And then when they call about it, you say, "I'm sorry, it's already gone. What are you looking for? I'll put you on my buyer's list."
Yeah, I've done some of that too.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, I just found out that was I could get maybe one or two buyers that were coming in, a day or a week kind of thing with those ads through Craigslist.
Yeah.
But I was looking for some way to get it done a lot, build a list a lot faster.
And a lot of it boils down to you know, just qualifying your buyer, because you only need one buyer for every house. And if you're doing it right and you build a good buyer's list, you can sell the same buyer 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 houses in a year. So, you know, even if you're doing 5 to 10 deals a month, you might only need 20 or 30 different buyers.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
As long as they got deep pockets.
As long as they got deep pockets or can qualify for hard money or have private money lined up.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. I hope that helps.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you one other question then.
Sure.
Tomorrow, this is an area that's outside of the MLS thing that I have access to. I'm going up north to this other city, and I was going to stop by the housing authority and see if I can get a list of Section 8 owners.
Okay.
Is that a good source? Have you found that to be a good source of investors looking for rental property?
It could definitely be. It would be a good list of investors looking for rental property, but probably not fix and flip investors.
Right, right.
Which is good. That's good. It'd be good turnkey investors. You know, like if you had a rental property already loaded with a tenant.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So that would be a good list. That is a good idea. Cool. Anybody else got anything? Go ahead and jump in. Don't be shy. Anybody else? All right, going once. Going twice. Well, guys, I really appreciate you being on. I hope I answered everybody's question satisfactorily. If you have any questions between now and the next call, please don't hesitate just to hit me up. Shoot me an email, larry@larrygoins.com. Be sure to put Inner Circle in the subject line. And as always, we really, really appreciate your business. And look forward to continue to work with you. And if you need anything, don't hesitate to hit me up. I'm here for you, and I'll be glad to help you with any deals or any questions or anything in between these calls. So with that, thanks a lot, everybody. I hope you guys have a great night and a great Memorial Day. Talk to you later, guys.